right, it's been a whole weekend, two whole days. Let's review what we learned on Friday, shall we? I think we need to, this is so great of a contrast here. I want to set it up again. I almost did it Friday, but I ran out of time, so I definitely want to do it today here on Monday. Hi, everyone. This is Martin Zunder, and we are another week into, broadcast excellence here, trying to bring Hebrews to life. This was a real letter written to real people who had a real problem. I really don't like theological arguments. I like to think of this stuff practically, and it was practical. Somebody rolled up this scroll, delivered it to the Hebrews, and somebody read it, and it was to them. I mean, it's really, you know, tough for us to read this. This is why I'm dissecting it and expanding it, because to them, to the Hebrews, they understood. We just don't know. We can't put ourselves in the place of people who had to go to the temple day after day and offer their sacrifices day after day and the national sacrifice year after year in order to gain the acceptance of God. It is a totally foreign concept to us, and we take for granted the blessings that we have. So let's go back to the concordant commentary by A. Enoch, and he's commenting verse 26 through the rest of the chapter, which is Hebrews chapter 10. Here we go. I read this Friday, but I'm going to reiterate it, and then I'm going to go down and read more, yes, more than what I read on Friday, because this is the contrast, which I told you I was going to be doing. Under the law, one who sinned presumptuously, or as the Hebrew has it, with a high hand, that is, on purpose, was to be cut off from among his people. It's a good thing God doesn't operate like that today, isn't it? You remember what I wrote in How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette? I said there that the worst kinds of sins were those where you say to God, I know this is a sin and I'm sorry for it. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry that I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Those are the worst kinds of sin. Those are high-handed sin, presumptuous sins, to be contracted with inadvertent sins. When you accidentally killed your neighbor's donkey. I was just throwing rocks for target practice. I didn't know that Smedley was standing over there. Sorry. So there are accidents, but there are high-handed sins, and those are the ones we do most of the time. I sin daily, well, every other day, with M&Ms. I know it's wrong to get two double packs instead of one, but I do it anyway. In the old days, I would have been cut off from among my people. Back to the quote. Because he had despised the word of Jehovah and broken his commandment. The man who gathered sticks on the Sabbath day was stoned to death. Numbers 15, 32 through 36. The voluntary sin here referred to is doubtless the repudiation of the truth and apostasy from the faith. When we say, when A.E.K. there says referred to, he's talking about verse 26 of Hebrews 10, for at our sinning voluntarily after obtaining the recognition of the truth, there is no longer leaving a sacrifice for sin. I explained that, no longer leaving a sacrifice for sin, to you on Friday. The man who gathered sticks on the Sabbath day knew it was wrong. He was stoned to death. The voluntary sin here referred to is doubtless the repudiation of the truth and apostasy from the faith. The faith of the Hebrews having been founded, this is important. This is what I'm going to use as a springboard here. Listen to that. Can you hear the church bell? You hear the chime back here in the background? That's the church bell at the church where Cindy McCoy ran down in the movie Fake Jesus. Same church. Big church. It's huge. It's like the centerpiece of the town. We repudiate it. It's a sin. It's a presumptuous sin, that church. That they built it that big. How proud. All right, anyway. The faith of the Hebrews, having been founded on the powers and signs which were given as a token of the near approach of the kingdom, were sorely tried when these signs ceased and the kingdom did not come. And I explained to you why the kingdom did not come, because a new era was on the horizon, unprophesied, namely the era of the nations in which we live, the body of Christ being called out. Back to AEK. But those who drew back could not do so without reproaching God and trampling on the Son of God and inviting the fiery jealousy of Jehovah. For such, there is no sin offering, since they refuse the only sacrifice. And as I said Friday, the one and only, the once-for-all-time sacrifice, not only the only sacrifice for sin, but the one for all time. And that's why it couldn't be repeated, because it was once for all time. If you didn't get that, go back to Friday's show. I thought that was a good show myself. Yeah, I was fond of it. I thought I covered, it was a revelation to me, that point that they could not repent again. That is, they could not repent in accord with Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, because that was based on the sacrifice of Christ once for all time. And again, the Hebrews are like, what have you done for me lately, God? And so they keep wanting things to be repeated, this was the revelation to me. Things were repeated in the old days, every year, the sacrifice for sin, but now, once for all time, Jesus Christ, the living human lamb, if you will, the Messiah, and he did it once for all time, and if you repudiate that, the ship's not coming back. So, listen to this. Okay, I'm going to start this again. Not the whole thing, but the faith of the Hebrews. The faith of the Hebrews, having been founded on the powers and signs which were given as a token of the near approach of the kingdom, were sorely tried when these signs ceased and the kingdom did not come. But those who drew back could not do so without reproaching God and trampling on the Son of God and inviting the fiery jealousy of Jehovah, the fullness of which we will see during the day of indignation. A dress rehearsal of that was 70 AD when Titus and the armies of Rome sacked Jerusalem and did not leave one stone upon another of the temple. That was terrible, awful. Josephus writes in detail about it, but that's just a glimmer, a glimpse, earnest of the day of indignation and inheritance, which is going to be absolutely terrible. For such, there is no sin offering, since they refuse the only sacrifice that is of any avail. They are calling down the vengeance of God. And they did that in 70 AD, but the full vengeance of God, the aeonian vengeance, the vengeance, I should say, at the consummation of this aeon, will be the day of indignation. Preterists think that God fulfilled his indignation in 70 AD, but no. That was just on that particular generation. But the entire nation of Israel, the blood of all the prophets, will be gathered together, and vengeance will be had during the day of indignation, detailed for us in the book of Revelation. Now, here's the new stuff. How great is the contrast between these Hebrews and those who came under the ministry of Paul? That's you and that's me. Their faith did not fail for lack of evidence, because it was never founded on it. Our faith was never founded on evidence. You live by evidence, you die by evidence. If you live to see things and hear things, and you live for signs and miracles, then you will die by signs and miracles, or at least when those signs and miracles cease. And if you don't think that's true, we have this account in the book of Acts, in Hebrews, where the signs and miracles did cease. And the people, the Israelites, and mainstream Christianity is at least metaphoric Israel, if not literal Israel, the lost 10 tribes. They love these signs. They love miracles. They lust for them. They'll even settle for hypnosis. They'll even settle for false manifestations. So great is their desire for miracles. And when they go to these foreign countries like Africa, and these miracles don't happen, they get depressed and they get disappointed because God's not working. What a blessing to not base your faith on miracles. Our faith is based on nothing. Well, I shouldn't say nothing, but it's not based on anything physical. What was that? Sorry. It's not based on anything physical. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For by faith are we walking, not by perception. That is the radical departure, one of the radical departures of Paul from the Hebrew Scriptures. We are not walking by perception. That's why people hated Paul. That's why so-called believers, I should say Christians, today don't like Paul, because Paul is raw, naked faith. Now, the Hebrews had to have some faith. We're going to find that out very soon at the beginning of chapter 11. But we're talking about radical faith with Paul. The Hebrews at least had a history of signs and miracles. The Exodus and the recent history of Jesus Christ, their Messiah, being on earth, raising people from the dead, feeding the multitudes, changing the water into wine at Cana. We don't have any of these things. And so we are people of total faith, total grace and total faith. It's not to say that we don't have grace and faith in Hebrews. It's not to say we don't have grace and faith in the four accounts, the four Gospels. We do, but we're talking about transcendent and superabundant grace and faith, which we find in Paul's Gospel. So anytime you hear the word grace, and anytime you hear the word faith, which you're going to hear probably tomorrow as I get into chapter 11, you have to think, okay, this is faith, but it's not faith like we're called upon. We are called upon, and we are gifted with radical faith that is not founded on miracles and signs. I want to read this again from A.E. Nock commentary as I finish for today, because this is just so good, and I'm going to continue on because I didn't finish this paragraph. How great is the contrast between these Hebrews and those who came under the ministry of Paul? Their faith, that is our faith, the faith of those under the ministry of Paul, did not fail for lack of evidence, because it was never founded on it. Reference there 2 Corinthians 5:7. We are walking by faith, not perception. They come, that is we, so completely under the dominion of grace that persistence in sin, listen to this, persistence in sin, the presumptuous sins that were just condemned in Hebrews, persistence in sin would only increase the outflowing of favor. Reference Romans 6:1 and Romans 5:20. We are beyond the sphere of condemnation, Romans 8:1. The Hebrews were not. We are beyond the sphere. We're not even in the ballpark of condemnation. We're not even in the parking lot at the stadium of condemnation. It's impossible for us. The Hebrews, by contrast, knock again, were never introduced into such grace as this, for their destiny is the kingdom on the earth, where there is pardon for sins, where there is a new covenant that is based on forgiveness of sins. God puts His law on their hearts, but we are apart from law. We are justified apart from law. So God doesn't even put His law on our hearts. As wonderful as that sounds, and as much as Christians pine to have the law written on their hearts, we're justified apart from works of law, Romans 3:27. Therefore, our faith is based on the faith of Jesus Christ, not on our faith and not on any signs or miracles, because if you live by those, you die by those, but we live by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.